Greetings from the Gunflint Trail. The blush of fall is now fully engaged in the North Woods. The natural east is east and west is west equinox phenomenon has sent Old Sol past the tipping point toward the southern hemisphere. Our border country technicolor spectacle has shifted into high gear. While the intensity has been mounting rather deliberately up to this point, the official declaration this past Thursday seems to have set off an orange-red blitz in just a few days. This area will be a leaf peeper's dream for the next couple weeks. Several cloudy days have been the order in this neighborhood during the last seven. Fortunately, the dismal time did not go to waste, as the Wildersmith rain gauge collected over an inch and three quarters, with some upper trail folks reporting even more. Speaking of wet happenings, a check of the Gunflint Lake water temp at the Smith Dock found the mercury in a state of decline to 65 degrees. This is down from our warmest summer reading of nearly 75. Whereas several areas in the Northland got nipped, this place in the woods missed the predicted frost last week. It was close, though, with two consecutive mornings at 35 on multiple thermometers. Yet I did detect what appeared to be frozen crystal in a few ditch locations during a trip to town on one of those days. I received an interesting report on some lake water testing conducted this summer here on Gunflint Lake. Some of our residents have long been concerned about the application of calcium chloride to roads adjoining the Gunflint Gal for dust control, as well as copious amounts of chemical treatment put on the trail during the winter. Of course, our interest is whether this practice is having any adverse effect in regard to calcium runoff and buildup of such in lake water. Sample readings were taken in cooperation with County Soil and Water in mid-June. I'm told 35 lakes were tested in the county, and of all the lakes sampled, Gunflint was the third highest, with analysis showing 8.2 parts per million. A rough calculation projects there could be nearly 1,000 tons of excess calcium chloride in this lake. In comparison, Tucker Lake, just two lakes to the south, and not having close proximity road treatments, had a reading of 3.5 parts per million. The critical issue on excessive levels of calcium is a correlation between calcium and invasive species, notably rusty crayfish and zebra mussels. According to our Gunflint Lake water monitor, Gunflint Lake, on the whole, does not have good habitat for rusties, but the invasive rascals could devastate the shallower Little Gunflint and Little North Lakes. What happens is rusties destroy vegetation and hog available food, thus having a negative impact on fish habitat. This surely has potential implications for other upper trail lakes as well. Apparently, research says that 5 parts per million, and this could be found to be even lower, is a cutoff for sustaining rusty crayfish. Attempts are being made with the MPCA to do some deep water testing this winter on the Gunflint to further assess the consequences of this calcium issue. In the meantime, Gunflint Lake property owners and other territory lake residents will no doubt be thinking about the value of keeping the dust down versus environmental costs to our pristine waters. A story of near tragedy and triumph took place on Hungry Jack Lake little more than a week ago. A loon was discovered near a resident's dock in a seriously distressed state. The bird had a fish hook in its chest and fish line tangled around its head, obviously making it difficult to eat, dive, and or swim. There are Good Samaritan acts someplace every day. Fortunately for this Minnesota icon, Hungry Jack and Leo Lake neighbors were in the right place at the right time and gathered quickly. A fishnet was chosen as the implement for rescue, and a gal in a kayak with three folks in a canoe set out to corral the troubled animal. They soon netted the loon and brought it to the dock of the Hungry Jack Outfitters. The terrified loon was wrapped in toweling, but nevertheless inflicted numerous blows with its beak before rescuers were able to secure its head. The fish line was ultimately removed and the hook carefully cut off and pulled out. With loving hands, the handsome critter was released back into the lake, where it gave a hoot, perhaps saying thanks, flapped its wings, and swam away, for sure saved from an anguishing death. Congrats and thanks to the caring folks for helping a creature of the wild neighborhood to triumph over tragedy. You can see pictures of the rescue effort attached to the Wildersmith column at WTIP.org. Most of the time, it's difficult to retrieve lost fishing tackle, but if at all possible, anglers could do these floating critters a big favor by not leaving to chance that line and hooks with bait will never cause a problem. On a final note, the Gunflint Trail Historical Society, in concert with the Gunflint Trail Scenic Byway Committee and WTIP, is looking for stories, pics, audio accounts, and artifacts of the Ham Lake Fire. Such are needed for the 2017 Chickwack Museum temporary exhibit, as next year commemorates the 10th anniversary of the tragedy. The exhibit will feature remembrances of this flaming disaster, along with educational presentation of wildfire ecology in the territory. If anyone has items from the historic event and is willing to share them with exhibit organizers, please let the Society know by calling the museum at 218-388-9915 to be directed to project planners. Donations are being solicited to assist in funding this extraordinary undertaking. For WTIP, this is Fred Smith at Wildersmith, where every border country day is great, and some are even better.